The reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. That's 1222 in the church Bibles. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Sarah. It'd be a great help if you could keep that Bible passage open, if you have it in front of you. We're going to ponder that in a moment. But just before we get to that, just to say a particularly warm welcome to you if you're a student, you've just started out at university, as well as the welcome lunches. Our regular sort of main ministry that we have for students is what's called Student Room after the evening service each week. That's starting up tonight, where we have some food together, have some chance for discussion, opportunity to get to know one another better as well. So if you've eaten already, or you haven't eaten, or you hadn't even planned to come, you're more than welcome. It's after the service, about 5 to 10 minutes afterwards, we'll sort of direct you where to go. Let's pray now as we come to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, your word is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from your sight. So, Father God, we do ask that your word would be alive and active in us today. Amen. Cycling. What's your opinion of cycling? There's been one or two sermons in the past from other members of the ministry team who have put a bit of a down on cycling, if I'm honest. I want to redeem cycling slightly for us and say that I love cycling. I'm a big fan of it. I used to go on a cycling trip every summer with my previous church when I was sort of a late teenager. We did the Isle of Wight, we did Coast to Coast, we did the South Downs. We had some amazing summer trips. But I'm not much of a cycling expert, has to be said. I was telling some friends earlier that I was once cycling along and thought my tyre was a bit flat, so I went to squeeze it to see if it was pumped up, of course, burning my hand because I was cycling along, checking the tyre pressure. So the first cycling trip I did, I took my bike with me that I sort of cycled around town a bit, but it hadn't done a sort of proper hardy bike trip worthy for a 100-mile weekend. So on this trip, we cycled up and up, and it was only when I was descending my first major hill that I realised that my brakes didn't really work. So there I was, hurtling down a hill. I was picking up pace, I realised that there was a T-junction ahead of me with a brick wall of sort of a building. And so I had a choice. It was going to be brick wall or floor. Okay, so I hit the deck and sort of did a wet and wild slide down the hill on my belly. I think I've still got a scar from it. Needless to say, I got my brakes fixed for the rest of the trip. Now, the key thing with cycling, okay, not when going downhill, but the key thing with cycling when going uphill or on a flat is to pedal, okay? If you don't know how to cycle, that's a bit of a tip for you. You've got to pedal. You've got to keep going, you've got to keep moving. If you're going downhill, let the brakes do the work. One trip we were cycling through sort of long grass and it was really hard to pedal along. I just sort of fell over and flopped over and was in a bit of a strop. But you've got to keep pedaling, you've got to keep going when you're cycling. Otherwise, you're just going to fall over. That's the key, just to keep going. And the message that we had from that Bible passage that Sarah read from us is the same. It's the same for you, Sam and Grace, having just been baptised. It's the same for all of us here today, if you know Jesus. The message is, keep going. Keep going. Keep pedalling along in the simplicity of Christian life. That's the question. How do we keep going? How do we keep going when we've been a Christian for 40, 50 years and we're getting stale in our faith? How do we keep going as a Christian when we've just started out and we've got 40, 50 years of temptation ahead of us? How do we keep going as a Christian when we've just started at university and there's so many temptations in front of us? Well, Peter's going to tell us. The first way that he tells us to keep going is keep going with a precious faith. The message that we had is from a guy called Simon Peter. We're told in the first verse, he's the guy who was Jesus' most outspoken disciple, and yet he was one of his most trusted. Peter died later on in life, we're told through history, under Emperor Nero, who himself died in 68 AD. So it must have been before that. So this letter is about maybe 30, 35 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Verse 14, we're told that he's writing towards the end of his life. He's soon going to put his body aside. He knows that death is soon, and yet he's writing to a group of Christians to remind them of old truth. So what does he tell us in his opening? Well, he says, verse 1, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Okay, let's hold up a minute. A faith as precious as ours. I mean, that's a shocking thing for Peter to say, really. Peter's writing to ordinary Christians here, and yet he's an apostle. So he's a witness of the resurrected Jesus. But he's writing to ordinary Christians, and he says that their faith is as precious, as valued, as equal as his, as the apostles and the first disciples. I mean, this is Peter here, who was with Jesus when he calmed the storm. Peter, who walked on water towards Jesus. Peter, whose very name means rock on which Christ would build his church. Peter, who was there at the cross, weeping after his denial. Peter, who was one of the first at the tomb of the resurrected Christ. Peter, who was specifically reinstated by Christ. Peter, who was entrusted with feeding his flock. Peter says, their faith, your faith, my faith, is just as valued and important. There's no hierarchy of Christians. Why is that? Well, what is their faith in? It's in this man who's described in a few ways in the opening verse. He's described as God, Saviour, Jesus, and Christ. Okay, four different names and titles. The third one, Jesus, is his earthly name of the real historical man who lived 2,000 years ago, who walked on this earth. The fourth one is Christ, God's promised king and rescuer. The first one he's described as is God. Okay, it's quite a remarkable thing to describe a man as God. He's God the Son who has existed eternally, who became human in the person of Jesus. And secondly, he's called Saviour. The salvation that Grace and Sam have been talking about in their testimonies, that Jesus came to save people from all kinds of different backgrounds, from our deepest problem of sin and separation with the God who created us. Jesus came to bridge that gap through his death and resurrection. He did that, Peter says, through his righteousness, through his perfect holy standing that meant he never sinned, never did anything wrong. And that righteous holy standing is given through a precious faith to all who have their faith in Jesus. I wonder, what's the most precious thing that you have? If there were a fire in your house tonight and you had half a second to grab one item, what would it be? Well, faith is of infinite more worth. The queen couldn't take her crown with her into death, could she? She wasn't buried with the expensive fancy scepter. They were quite deliberately taken off of her coffin. But she did have a faith that she could take with her. Faith in Jesus of more value, more worth, and more beauty than anything else in this entire world. Grace and Sam have realised that. All Christians here today have realised that. And so if you're someone here today and you're just visiting us and you don't have a faith in Jesus, then can I say you're so welcome today. It's great to have you here with us. This is one of the best places you can come to find out more about Jesus. But my hope today is that you don't go away from today thinking, what a lovely service, or what a great testimony we had, what an amazing baptism, or what a trendy new haircut the speaker had. Don't think there's any danger of that, don't worry. But my real hope and prayer is that you go away thinking, wow, what an amazing person this man Jesus really is. Faith in him is precious because he is precious. He's worth more than all the riches, all the money in the entire world. If you're a student here today, or maybe you just moved new to the city, and you're 50-50 of whether to go with Jesus or whether to go after the temptations, the things that the university life might offer you, then can I say that Jesus, I mean, it doesn't even compare. Jesus is of far more value and preciousness and beauty than anything that this world can offer you. Peter tells us in verse 2 that faith in him leads to grace and peace in abundance. Grace, I assume you're called Grace because your parents wanted to name you after the amazing grace of Jesus, that he gives people like us far more than we deserve in forgiving us our sin and lavishing us with his abundant love. And we have peace with God, knowing the creator of the universe and being peace with him and his son Jesus our Lord. That faith is a faith that you and I can have. And it's as precious as that of Peter's, as precious as that of the Queen's. If you've been a Christian for 2 minutes, 2 months, 2 years, 2 millennia, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. Our faith is the same because it's a precious faith in a precious Savior. Wow, well, that's just the start to the letter. It's not a bad introduction, is it? So keep going with a precious faith. Secondly, keep going with everything you need. I don't know how you found packing for a trip, a holiday, weekend away, whatever it might be. I don't know about you, but I find it quite difficult. And there's often two items that I forget, which is a charger and a toothbrush. They're my sort of traditional two items. In recent years, I've made a real effort to remember those two items. Okay, not just those two items, but they're my two items that I think, right, I'm going to check about 10 times that I haven't forgotten my charger or toothbrush. The problem is I sort of remember them on the way out when packing for the trip, but on the way back, often forget to bring them back. But anyway, Peter, in these next few verses, says, make sure that you pack everything you need for life. In fact, he goes further and says, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Peter says, if you're a Christian, the bags are packed for you. You've got everything you need. Peter says there's no additional secret knowledge that you have to get hold of if you've got Jesus. There's no sort of extra step of initiation. There's no extra course that you need to go on, no extra exam to do. Okay, if you're a Christian, you're not going to get to the gates of heaven. And St. Peter will appear and say, hold up a minute, okay? Just before you go in, you've got one more test to do. Here's your paper and pen. It's not going to happen. Peter says you've got it all, everything, if you know Jesus. Here is sufficiency. Here is completeness. Here is adequacy. You know, sometimes, on occasions, we might hear Christian teaching that is what's called Christ plus. So to do well as a Christian, you've got to have Jesus plus something else. So it might be Christ plus healing, Christ plus prosperity in life, Christ plus some sort of godliness. But Peter says, no, you've got it already if you've got Jesus. There's no special ingredient. And verse 4 suggests that God giving us everything we need means we have something significant for the future. So through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. He says we can participate in the divine nature. That is to say that we are in fellowship with God through his Spirit dwelling in us. We have God the Holy Spirit dwelling in us if we're believers. It's not like we're going to become God, But one day we'll escape the corruption in this world that he talks about by going to be with God. And so, Sam and Grace, you have everything you need today. You've got it all. It's not your baptism that has saved you. It's not your public profession of faith that has given you God's love. It's his power that has saved you and given you all you need to know him and to be saved and to continue. And you know, there may be points in the next few days where you start to doubt yourself, where you say, should I really have been baptized? I don't know enough. I'm not godly enough. There's other Christians more sort of on fire for Jesus than I am. Well, in those times, remember Peter's words, that if you have faith in Jesus, no matter how small your faith, you have everything you need to know Jesus and to live a godly life. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Martin Luther said, better a small faith in a strong object than a strong faith in a weak object. Better a small faith in a strong object than a strong faith in a weak object. You know, if you were crossing a bridge that was strong and well-built and had good foundations, it wouldn't matter if you've got small faith in that bridge to carry you across and you're sort of scared and hesitant going across it. As long as you've got enough faith to cross the bridge and get to the other side, it will carry you because it's a strong bridge and foundation. But if you have the utmost faith in a rickety old chair that's designed for children and was built 200 years ago, that it will carry your weight, well, your strong faith doesn't matter because when you sit on the chair, it's going to collapse. Better a weak faith in a strong object than a strong faith in a weak object. And how much stronger is a foundation of having Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of your life? Friends, our faith could be small. It could be weak today. You could be hesitant. You could be doubting. You could be fearful. Your faith could be new. It could be recent. It could be childlike. But if that faith is in Jesus, then it's a powerful faith indeed. And you've got it all. You've got all that you need if you've got him. So it might be all you need, but what does that mean for us? And what do we do? Do we just sort of sit still and let God be God? Well, a key theme of this letter is to not stand still. It's to remember what God has done in the past and to keep moving forwards into the future eternity that is promised for us. Like being on a bike, you can't stay still as a Christian or you'll fall over. It's the same for Peter, it's the same for us. We've got everything we need, so we keep going. Next up, he says, keep going with every effort. Keep going with every effort. Well, he says that phrase twice, the every effort phrase. Verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness and to goodness, knowledge, etc., etc. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. So his point here is that you can't stand still as a Christian. If you think to yourself, well, God has saved me, so I can just sit back and chill and relax and chillax, then you've got it wrong, okay? God has saved you, therefore, go and make every effort. The Christian life involves being saved into a relationship where we strive to live God's ways. And you know, these aren't sort of crippling demands that God places on us once we're in a relationship with him. Look at what he calls us to do. Have you seen the list? It says faith. He calls us to goodness, to knowledge, to self-control, to perseverance, to godliness, to mutual affection, and to love. I mean, aren't these good qualities? To work towards, to aim for, to strive for. Imagine a person who exhibited all of these qualities. I mean, wouldn't that person make a great church leader or friend or husband or wife? And that's because they are qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was full of love, full of knowledge, full of self-control, full of godliness. And if we are in Christ, then God's Holy Spirit dwells in us, making us more like him. You know, yes, we are to make every effort. Yes, we're to work hard. Yes, we're to strive to be godly, but we don't do it alone. And thank goodness and praise the Lord that we don't do it alone. The Father helps us by his Spirit to become more like his Son. Therefore, we join in, don't we? We join in with God's work of seeking godliness in our own lives. You know, like a child being taught how to ride a bike by their parent. The child has to work hard, don't they? The child has to make every effort to try. But it's the parents behind them who are pushing them along and helping them and ready to catch them when they fall. I mean, the difference being there that as Christians, we never take the stabilizers off in life. We never go it alone and cycle away from God. God is constantly there helping us to grow in godliness. And we need him there constantly. Otherwise, we wouldn't be riding forwards, we'd be going backwards. And so what about those of us here today who are sitting there reading these qualities and who are worried, who are thinking, I'm not showing these qualities. I'm not living in goodness, in love, in self-control, in godliness at the moment. You know, maybe you think to yourself, I've only been at uni 24 hours or a week, and already I've done loads of things that are quite the opposite to what these verses say. Well, can I say to you that these are the product of our faith? There will be times in the Christian life where we go up and down. God has our whole lives in view, not just one day or a week. If there are ways this week, or maybe even in the past day, that you feel like you haven't shown these qualities, and so you're looking inwards, you're looking at yourself, and you're doubting yourself. Well, friends, can I encourage you not to look inward, but to look upward, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he'll always have you back. If you haven't shown these qualities, if you've done quite the opposite, then come back to Jesus. He says, come back, precious child. Let's start again, shall we? So keep going with every effort. But fourthly, keep going with a rich welcome coming. Our series is titled The Future is Coming, slightly ripping off a popular film franchise, which we may get sued for, I don't know. But that's a major theme for the letter. Living in a godly way now, remembering what has happened in the past, because something is coming in the future. What's coming? Well, Peter says, a rich welcome. Let me read verses 10 and 11 again. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do you fancy that? Do you fancy a rich welcome into eternity? You know, in the days after the Queen died, there were a few different pictures and cartoons doing the rounds that made me choke up seeing them, if I'm honest. These are a couple of my favourite on the screen. You might not be able to see them. But they're beautiful, aren't they? They're beautiful. And these were doing the rounds with Christians, with people who aren't Christians. And I think when it comes to the idea of death, we like the idea of there being an afterstory, don't we? We like the idea that the Queen is now safe, or that she's home, or that she's lovingly reunited with her husband, Philip. Now, I don't know the spiritual state of the hearts of the two of them, but the Queen was quite intentional, wasn't she, in her funeral service, that it was all about Jesus and the hope of her being with him. I don't know if you clocked as the service started and her coffin came through the doors. The words of Jesus were blasted out by the choir. I am the resurrection and the life, said the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Justin Welby picked up on that theme in his short address. He said, Our Majesty's example is not set through her position or her ambition, but through whom she followed. During her broadcast to the nation, the first lockdown, she quoted the song by Vera Lynn and said, We will see our families again. We will see our friends again. We will meet again. Christian hope means certain expectation of something not yet seen. Christ rose from the dead and offered life to all, abundant life now, and life with God in eternity. We will all face the merciful judgment of God. We can all share the Queen's hope, which in her life meant service and hope in death. All who follow the Queen's example and inspiration of trust and faith in God can with her say, we will meet again. You know, whatever you think of the Queen or monarchy, I think we can be almost certain that her hope was in Jesus and that she received what Peter describes as a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. 70 years of service to her country, a lifetime of faith in Jesus, followed by a welcome with open arms by her Saviour. Friends, that can be our welcome too. whether it's soon for you or many, many years in the future. We like the idea, don't we, of being reunited with our loved ones after we die. I'd love the idea of meeting my granddad, who I never met, but how much more so will there be a beautiful welcome from Jesus? Picture the arrivals at an airport where loved ones are reunited after time apart and the warm embrace and hug that is given. Picture a family coming through the door on Christmas Day to see loved ones on a happy occasion. Picture a prisoner of war who has spent months or years away from home coming back and hugging his daughter. Jesus awaits us to give us a rich welcome into his eternal kingdom. He'll embrace us with his nail-pierced hands and say, "Welcome home." He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." My favourite Lord of the Rings quote is Gandalf speaking to Pippin when they're losing a battle and seemingly certain death awaits them. Pippin says, "Gandalf, I didn't think it would end this way." Gandalf says, "End? No, the journey doesn't end here. Death is just another path, one that we all must take. The grey rain curtain of this world rolls back and all turns to silver glass, and then you see it. What, Gandalf? See what? White shores. And beyond, a far green country under a swift sunrise. Well, that isn't so bad. One day, friends, we'll leave this world and enjoy a rich welcome into eternity. Eternity with silver glass and white shores, a country far away where everything will be perfect. No more separation, no more pain or tears, but a rich welcome, a feast. As Jesus says, come on in. And if we keep going, if we have a precious faith in Jesus, he'll greet us with open arms and say, welcome home, my child. Come join me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, would we keep going? Would we keep going with the precious faith that you have given us, because you've given us everything that we need to live for you. Father, we recognize that there's so many things in this world that might draw our attention, that might seem good and great, but Father, they're nothing compared to the precious beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do long for that day when we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So keep us going until then, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's stand together to respond to what we've heard.